You may have experienced in school, as I did, that there were subjects each day that some of them you liked and some of them you didn't really care for. Some of them you got up each and every day looking forward to going through those subjects, and others you wish that you didn't have to endure. And I remember when I was in school, I really didn't care for any class dealing with poetry. Maybe you had an English literature class, or maybe you had a college humanities class. And from time to time, they would discuss poetry. I want to be very clear at the beginning that I don't think poetry is a bad thing. I'm just saying I didn't care for it. There are those who really like that, and they enjoy that, and they enjoy studying that. But I'd rather go to the dentist than listen to a study on poetry. But every once in a while, a poet will say something that I think has some value. When we, in a college humanities class, I loved it when they were studying music. I couldn't stand it when they were studying art and poetry. But again, people like art, and people like different kinds of things. And maybe I like music and other people don't like music. So there's all those different kinds of choices. But every once in a while, a poet will say something that I think has some merit and has some value. And you know, the Apostle Paul even understood that. You remember in Acts chapter 17 when he was there preaching to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers? He quotes two poets. In Acts chapter 17 there he says, "Even as some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Acts 17 verse 28. "Even as some of your own poets have said." So apparently he found some value in some poetry somewhere. And there are a couple of men that he may have quoted from. Cleanthes at the time was a Greek poet, and another man named Aretas of Cilicia. Maybe he was quoting these poets, but he quotes them and then goes on to make a point. This morning I want to quote a poet, and I don't normally do that. But every once in a while, you'll find someone who says something that's pretty impressive. Are you familiar with the poet Robert Frost and his well-known poem, "The Road Not Taken"? That's what I want us to consider this morning. I believe he won a Pulitzer Prize for this little short poem. And I was asking my son earlier, of the high school kids and those who are younger, that's the one thing that a lot of people remember, you know, Robert Frost's poem. This poem begins, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler. Long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth." And then he goes on to talk about why he chose that particular road. And at the very end, there is this well-known paragraph. "I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." This is a well-known line from a well-known piece of poetry. And it's been interpreted a number of different ways, but I want, like Paul in Acts 17, I want to use it as an illustration this morning. That I believe Mr. Frost was right in the sense of life is like traveling roads and you have to make a choice. And he talks about choosing the one less traveled. And he said, when I did that, it made all the difference. This morning, I want to talk about the road not taken. I want to talk about the road less traveled. Because when I think about that as an illustration, I think that that's exactly what we're talking about with regard to being a Christian and what we've read about in Matthew chapter 7. There's two roads in life. And so this morning, I want us to consider this. Each and every day that we get up, you have a choice between two roads. You have a choice to go down the road where everybody's traveling that and it's well-worn, or the one that's less traveled. And this is when you're out on a date. And this is when you go to work, and when you go to school, and when you interact with individuals throughout the day. Each interaction, each choice is a choice between a road well-worn and a road less taken. And the encouragement this morning is to take that road less traveled, as hard as it might be, because that's the one at the end of our life that's going to make all the difference. What we find today, brethren and friends, is that it's easy to go down that other road. That road that's well-worn, the road that my friends and family and people in town are taking. And anytime I get into such and such situation, most people go down this road, and I'll just go down that road. No, we need to go down the other one. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It may not be as well-worn. It may be lonely. It may be rough along the way, but it's the one that leads to godly character in heaven. In high school, we built a house out about 40 miles outside of San Antonio, Texas, just out in the rough. The rancher that we bought some land from literally had to cut the fence. We went out there, he cut the fence, and he got his bulldozer, and he started bulldozing a road back on his ranch and sold Dad some acreage back there. That road, until it got developed, was as rough as a cob. It was terrible. It had holes. It had stuff laying across it all the time. It was a road not taken very often. It was not well worn. But it led to a pretty good place. We called it home. I kind of liked it. We may be on in a situation that's rough and it has obstacles, but we're better for it. Let's take the road less traveled each and every day that we get up, because it will make all the difference in the end. I want to answer three questions this morning about this road. First of all, what is this road? What are we talking about? We're talking about a road that involves choices each and every day, and we're not going to take the choice where everybody's traveling it. We're going to take the one less traveled. It might be more difficult, it might be more challenging, but it's the Christian road. The second question I want to answer in our lesson this morning is, who is on this road? What kind of a person is on this road, the road less traveled? And third, where does this road lead and why travel it? If it's difficult from time to time, why travel it? If it's less traveled and less worn, why do it? Why put ourselves through that trouble and that agony and that turmoil and that stress? Why do all of that? Because of where it leads. And so let's consider that this morning. First of all, what is this road? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we learn that it's the road of purposeful choice. God wants us to make choices each and every day. And He spoke through Moses to Israel along those same lines. If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, as the Israelites are sitting there, posed and ready to enter into the land of Canaan. And there's some last minute reminders here of how they're supposed to live. And He's saying there's going to be some choices that lay ahead. And so in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, "See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love Jehovah thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His ordinances, that you may live and multiply, and Jehovah thy God may bless thee in the land whither thou goest in to possess it." Look at the emphasis there on the Word of God in verse 16. You're going to have a choice of, do you follow God's Word each and every day or not? If you do, it leads to spiritual life and good. If you don't, it leads to spiritual death and evil. But, verse 17, "if thy heart turn away and thou wilt not hear," you've made the choice not to listen, "but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land, whether you possess it, to go over the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death. It's a road of choice. God doesn't force us to go down one road or the other. He's not going to make us do it. He's going to lay it before you, and you have to choose the road less traveled or the road more traveled. He lays it before you, and He gives us free will to make those choices. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live, thou and thy seed. Choose. We have to choose each and every day. And all we can do this morning is give the incentives to make the right choice. We can't force you to do it. We can't force someone to take the road. As parents, we don't force our children to do that. They've got to grow up and learn to make the right choices. As parents, as spouses, we have to use the free will inside of us to make the right choices. Choose you this day. Verse 20, to love Jehovah thy God and to obey His voice and to cleave unto Him. For He is thy life and thy length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which Jehovah sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. You've got to make the right choice each and every day. Number two, it's a road of the minority. And that was in our scripture reading this morning when Jesus speaks in the Sermon on the Mount. There's a broad way that everybody's traveling, that many people are traveling. That's the well-worn road. That's the road that everybody takes. And when I'm in a situation and I've got to make a choice, I can choose what everybody does in that situation, or I can be the few who are traveling that narrow road that leads to eternal life, or I can travel that broad way that everybody's traveling, but it leads to death. I can talk the way everybody talks in this situation. I can think and act like everybody thinks and acts in this situation, or I can take the other road, and I will be in the minority. Few there are that are walking that road. Yeah, I'm in the minority. And there are not as many on that road. And I may not even have people around me walking as at that moment. I may not have anybody else in the room that is making that choice. It'd be nice to have some others to help, but I'm by myself. We're going to see that later in the lesson. I might just be myself. But I still need to take that road. Don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about crowds and numbers and statistics and who all is doing this and churches of Christ are doing this and churches of Christ are doing that and a large number of my friends are over here doing this. Don't worry about numbers. Ask yourself, what road am I on? That's what's important. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's going to be the road of the minority. But as the poet said, I was the better for it. And then, number three, turn with me to Matthew 16:24, like that road that was cut out by that rancher. It's going to be rough. It's going to be difficult. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's the road of self-denial. It's the road of difficulty, because we're going to talk about some situations here in just a minute where we're on this road less traveled. And we're going to talk about some situations where it's going to be difficult. I'm just going to tell you up front. It's going to be difficult. That's why it's less traveled. Who wants to put themselves in difficulty and stress and strain? I'd rather go down the road of ease where everything is fine and dandy and rosy and peachy. That's why it's well worn. But if I go down this road less traveled, there's going to be some difficulty there. I'm going to have to deny myself. I'm going to have to take up my cross. I'm going to have to give up some things. I'm going to have to go through some difficulties. There might be some big potholes along the way. There might be some obstacles laying in the way. Would you rather go down a two-lane divided highway that's newly paved and this big median out in the middle and these big sides and everything is just, you know, smooth and clear? Or would you rather go down this bumpy, rocky road? Well, it depends on where they're leading. And this morning we're going to see that there's going to be some difficulty on this road, but it's worth it. Let's make the right choice. Even if we have to walk with the minority, and even if we have to travel through difficulty. It'll be less traveled. It'll be less worn. That's right. But it'll be so much better for us. Who is on this road? What are we talking about? Let's start with Mark chapter 8. The road less traveled, number one, is the road where we're willing to confess and stand up for Jesus Christ when others around us are not willing to do that. You remember in Mark chapter 8 when Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" In Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 27. "Who do men say that I am?" And they told him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." You may be in a situation from time to time when others around you are not saying the right thing about Jesus, but you've got to stand up and confess Him. Whether it's at school or work or some other place. "Who do men say that I am?" Well, Jesus is this and Jesus is that. But that's not the truth. And there are a lot of people today that are saying different things about Jesus. Well, he was a good man and he was a Jewish sage and teacher and he had some interesting things to say. But they're not going to say that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I need to obey him and follow him each day. They're not going to say that. But you will, right? You'll make that confession. It's the road less traveled. The road where we're willing to stand up and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's not just something that we say right before we go down into the waters of baptism. When Jesus talked to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 about confessing him, he wasn't talking about what you do right before you go down into the water. I believe we need to do that because we have an example of that in Acts chapter 8. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch did. I believe we should do that. But in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is talking about these men who are already his disciples, each and every day they are supposed to go out and confess him before men. Now, it's the road less traveled, but we need to do that. And we're going to find ourselves in situations where people around us don't want to confess that about Jesus Christ, but we will. And we'll stand up like Peter and we'll say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we know from the parallel account in Matthew 16 that confession, that statement of Jesus is the rock upon which Jesus built his church. It's the road of confession. Let's take that. You know, the road less traveled is the road of resolve. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. We've been studying in the book of Acts. And we've been studying how that after Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost and he heals the lame man in chapter 3, and Peter and John are preaching in the temple. Certain of the Jewish leadership don't like that. We don't want them preaching in the name of Jesus. And so they bully them and berate them. And they say, "You can't preach in our town. This is our town. You can't come in here and preach in our town." You know, the Sadducees had that attitude toward the temple. They ran the show in the temple in many regards. And so we don't want Peter and John preaching in the name of Jesus. And so they start off by threatening them and then later they imprison them. But Peter and John have this stalwart attitude that we should have of standing up for truth. And when they're threatened and berated again, we find in Matthew 5:29, "We must obey God rather than men." And they had resolve. Now, they might have been a couple of fishermen. Chapter 4, you remember that statement? They took notice that they had been with Jesus, but they're ignorant and unlearned men. Well, they're not elite like we are, the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're uneducated, and they don't know what we know. Chapter 4, verse 13. They're just a bunch of fishermen from Galilee. But you know what they had? They had resolve. They have resolve. We must obey God rather than men. And God wants us to be doing this, and we're going to do it. We're not going to listen to you. That's the road less traveled. Because the road that is well worn is the road where you go down, everybody travels it. Don't buck the system. Don't stand up to anything. Just go along and trot along and poke along and just file in with the masses. And when somebody bullies you and says, don't do that, okay, and we just sort of go along with that. Nope. Nope, we have resolve. We're going to stand for truth. And whatever you do to us, that's your business. But we're going to obey God rather than men. And we need that. We need that in the church. We need that in our society. Because there is that other element out there that wants to put a stop to truth. And we need that road less traveled. You know who's on that road? Peter and John. And we would be keeping company with them. They're in the minority here. The council, they're standing in this council. They're in the minority. And you tell these, preaching in the name of Jesus. Imagine what that would have been like to just stand there in the minority. And you got these people around you that don't like you. And you just say, we're going to do what God says. That takes a lot of inner strength. And we need that. It's the road of resolve. I'm picking out this morning some examples in Scripture of where you've got cases of individuals where a lot of individuals went down this well-worn road, but a few go down this less traveled. And we're learning from that. Stand up for what is right. And in verse 40 of chapter 5, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus. This is not just some tough little spot that Peter and John find themselves in. They're in a room full of guys that kind of don't like them, and you sort of have to put up, we're talking about serious persecution. They beat them. And the next verse says that they were glad to suffer for the name of Christ. They counted it worthy and an honor to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the road less traveled is the road of faith. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. It's the road where we simply take God at His word and follow His word, even though it might be in difficult circumstances. And I'm using the word faith here in the sense of believing God's word and obeying it. And the example here is the Israelites going through the wilderness. And there are several examples that are given, one after another, of Israelites who are wandering through the wilderness and they don't want to believe. They don't want to have faith and obedience. They want to take the well-worn road of complaint and murmuring and living any way we want. And we see where that got them. We need to be different. Let me ask you this. If we had been among the Israelite group, would we have been among those who wanted to follow the 10 spies? Oh, we can't go up. We're like grasshoppers. Or would we have been like Joshua and Caleb? Would we have traveled the well-worn road of, oh, we can't do this. Everybody's going down that road. Or the less traveled road of Joshua and Caleb. We need to do this. We're supposed to do this. Who would we have sided with on that occasion? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at this. In verse 5, speaking of the Israelites going through the wilderness, howbeit with most of them, underscore that in your Bible, with most of them traveled down that well-worn road that everybody wants to go down, the road of unbelief and lack of faith. Howbeit with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We're going to get in a situation maybe in our life where we can lust and just do what everybody does in that situation, or we can control ourselves and don't lust. Neither be idolaters as some of them were, the golden calf. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Well, everybody's fornicating. Everybody's committing adultery. Everybody's committing fornication. This is what you do. Or do we go down the other road of, no, I have faith in God. I'm not going to do that. I was reading the other day about a news story
where apparently the big thing now is where you drink alcohol, just drink, and then engage in sexual immorality. Now, I realize that people have been combining alcohol and sexual immorality for thousands of years. I realize that. But in a recent news story, one of the biggest things now on college campuses and other places is you just get stone drunk, just vomiting drunk, just drink as much as you can, and then try to engage in sexual immorality.
Well, if other people around us are doing that kind of thing, are we going to go down that road, or are we going to take the road less traveled? So, verse 7 and 8, you've got verse 8, you've got fornication. Maybe a reference to Numbers chapter 25 there, where the Israelites are engaging in all kinds of sexual immorality, and Phinehas has enough faith and resolve, and he throws a spear through these two individuals to stop the plague. Everybody's fornicating. Verse 9, neither let us make trial of the Lord as some of them made trial and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. These are examples of Israelites who don't have faith in God. And they're just living however they want to live at the moment. Or would we have traveled that road of Joshua and Caleb, for example? That road of we have to do what's right. Would we have traveled that road of Phinehas? That was a lonely road that day for him to pick up his spear and go do that. The road less taken is the road of faith and obedience and proper living. We're not going to engage in all these other kinds of acts of unbelief like these Israelites are. Each and every day we're going to live by faith in God's Word and not the worldliness around us. It's the road of confrontation. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. This is difficult. I don't think any of us, and myself included, we don't get up each day looking for a fight, looking for negativity, looking for confrontation. But when it has to happen, we need to be on the road less traveled. The road that is well traveled or more traveled is the road where you don't confront anything. Don't confront your spouse. Don't confront your children. Don't confront your coworker. Don't confront your students. Don't confront anybody. Just let it ride. You especially don't confront your friends. Don't confront fellow members of the church. Don't confront denominations. Don't confront anybody. That's the road that everybody takes. Paul didn't. And we know the occasion in Galatians chapter 2 where a fellow apostle was acting in a way he shouldn't have acted. He was eating with Gentiles, and when some Jews showed up, he separated himself and acted like he wasn't a part of them. He feared them. Verse 12. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy, the New American Standard says. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth, okay, I got to make a choice here. I either travel the well-worn road of just letting it slide, or I confront my friend Peter. The less traveled road. He took the less traveled road. And he confronted him in a nice way and said, "You're not walking uprightly according to the truth." And I'm pretty certain Peter was made better for that. If you back up a little bit in the text, you find in verse 7 and 8 and 9 that Peter had given Paul the right hand of fellowship. I don't know how much earlier this was, but earlier Paul had been given the right hand of fellowship by Peter, and then Paul turns around at some point and confronts him. Now that would have been hard to do. But we need to do it. When someone, myself included, is not walking uprightly according to the truth, be my friend and point that out to me. It's difficult, but it must be done. The road less traveled is the road of loneliness. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Sometimes Paul found himself on this road less traveled, that in standing for Christ, other people are going to leave. And you might have individuals around you that leave the faith. Maybe they're no longer members of the church. They don't want to remain faithful. Maybe they've gone out into the world and you're wondering, where are those around me, my supporters and my friends and that type of thing? And so it might become a very lonely road. 2 Timothy 1:15, you know, Timothy, that all that are in Asia turned away from me. And then he mentions some. Not everybody liked Paul. Not everybody stood with him. He was too controversial. He was too confrontational, as we've just seen. And I'll travel with Paul until it puts me in a bind. Then I'm going to distance myself. And we find that. Sometimes you'll find that in the Lord's church. I'm not going to stand with that preacher. I'm not going to stand with those elders. I'm not going to be known to be fellowshipping someone over here because of the debates that they've had or their stand for truth on this. I don't want to be known. And so it gets kind of lonely. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he had already mentioned how Demas hath forsaken me, verse 10, well-known verse. But then he says, verse 16, at my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account. That's pretty lonely, isn't it? And you might find yourself in a situation at work or school or somewhere else where it's pretty lonely. There's nobody else helping you out. Just stand for truth and do what's right. And you'll be better for it. Maybe lonely, but you'll be better for it. It's the road of hardship. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Do you remember Moses as he was growing up? He had to make a choice of what road he was going to follow. What road he was going to go down. Remember, the poem is, I came to two roads that diverge. There's this well-worn road that you can tell everybody's been traveling it. And then there's this lesser traveled. Which one do I take? And Moses made a choice, the Hebrew writer says. He could have stayed in Egypt and he could have gone down that well-worn road of just being raised an Egyptian and just do what Egyptians do and distance myself from the Israelites and I'm not going to believe in the one true God. I've been raised as an Egyptian. I've got this plush, lush life. This beautiful place to live. I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I can have whatever I want. And what does the text say? He made a choice. What was that choice? Well, let's look at it again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. I can have it all here in Egypt. I can have it all. Or I can go out in that dusty, dirty wilderness and suffer ill treatment with the people of God. He traveled that road that was going to have a lot of hardships instead of staying in that plush palace and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Think about that, brethren and friends, the next time we have to make choices with regard to things of the world. Things of the world are going to put us in that plush palace. Or you can choose to share ill treatment with the people of God, but have that great reward that's at the end. What a great example in Moses. The road less traveled is the road of obedience. Peter says, few, that is eight souls, were saved. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, they were the only ones that obeyed to get on the ark. And
Peter says, few were saved. The rest of the world, I'm not going down that road of building an ark and getting on an ark. I'm going to go down the well-worn road of just living my life. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about the second coming being like in the days of Noah, where they were marrying and giving in marriage and just having a good time and enjoying it. Noah's over there hammering on an ark, and crazy Noah, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
But they were the only ones saved, because they went down that road of obedience. It's the road of truth. Turn with me to 1 John 2. Not everybody is going to stay within the truth of God's Word. Not everybody is going to stay within the pattern and the truth of God's Word. And you may know of some already who have left the truth of God's Word. And there are different churches of Christ that are in a crisis right now that they're trying to decide, elderships and others are trying to decide, are we going to stay within the truth and the pattern of God's Word, or are we going to go off and do something else? And so we're having to make decisions which road we're going to go down. Do we go down the well-worn road of all the denominations and other religious groups, or do we travel the less traveled road of staying within the pattern of God's Word? Look at 1 John 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have there arisen many, underscore that in your Bible, many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they are not of us. Us apostles and the Christians, these many people have left the truth. And John is saying, you need to stay put. And in 2 John 9, the book that follows, stay within the doctrine of Christ. Don't go outside of that. Many people are doing that, but you don't do that. It may not be popular to be on the road of truth. It may mean that we're in a smaller church to be on the road of truth. But stay on the road of truth. Many, John says. Chapter 4, verse 1, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are many people who have left the truth. That's the road that's well worn. Don't go down that road. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. It's the road of purity. It's not the road of popularity, but it is the road of purity. Remain pure. Not just sexually pure, but pure in all our ways. Here's a church at Sardis. They were just going through the motions. They had a name that they were living, but they were really dead. And John says in verse 4, you have a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That implies that others in the church were impure. These few were not. I have a few who have not defiled their garments. The road of purity. When we're out on a date, remain pure. When we're at work, remain pure. When we're in front of our computer, remain pure. When we're speaking to others, pure words, pure thoughts, pure ideas. Purity without defilement. The way of the world is just live any way you want, defile yourselves in any way you want, and dare anybody to tell you otherwise. Stay on that road of purity, even if it's just a few who are doing it. Why do we walk this road? It's the only road that leads to the godly Christian character that Christ wants for us each and every day. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we're in the minority. And we might even be lonely. But it's the godly Christian character that He wants for us each and every day. And it's the only road that leads to heaven. You may have wondered why maybe I didn't reference Christ yet. I wanted to save Him to the very end. When Jesus came to this earth, He chose the road less traveled. That was the road of the cross. And where did it lead Him? when he died on the cross and he was raised again, the text says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising shame. Where is he now? He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It led him to heaven. It was a lonely road. It was a difficult road. But it led him to heaven, and it'll lead us there as well. The few, the narrow way, leads to eternal life. So as we close this morning, which road are you traveling? Which road are you traveling? Are we traveling the well-worn road of doing what anybody does? Are we traveling the road when in a given situation you can do whatever you want to do? Or are we traveling the road of following God's word? Let's travel the road less taken, less worn. And as the poet said, when I got done taking that, I was better for it. And that has made all the difference, he said. It'll make all the difference in your life, and that difference will be a home in heaven. If we can encourage you to take that road less taken this morning, why won't you as we stand in it?